The wheel of time turns and ages come and pass, leaving memories that become legend. Legend fades to myth, and even myth is long forgotten when the age that gave it birth comes again. Welcome to Adventures in Randland. I am Andy.
And I'm Wendy.
And today we will be discussing chapters 35 to 40 of The Eye of the World by Robert Jordan. Last week we followed Rand and Matt through various villages on the way to Camelin and ended with them finally arriving in Camelin at the end of chapter 34. Mm-hmm. Last week we had no contact at all with any of the other groups. So. So today we move on to chapter 35. First, what was your overall thinking of today's reading, this week's reading?
You left me on a cliffhanger again.
That's no, what like we that. Do. How are we supposed to get you to keep turning pages?
Pardon?
I said, how are we supposed to get you to keep turning pages if we don't have cliffhangers?
Oh my God. No, I think it was great. It really I think there were a lot of spoilers coming.
That's probably true.
Have some questions when we get to them.
I like to hear that.
But no, I liked it. And I like that we're finding out what's going on with the other parties.
Yes, I was very, very happy that we had more than just Rand and Matt. I mean, I love Rand and Matt, but I mean, they're not the only people in the story. So
exactly.
So it was good to get the other groups back together again. So
right.
All right. Let's start with chapter 35. This chapter is titled Camelin. So Rand and Matt enter Camelin and they're amazed by the size and the overall population, like the amount of people that are in the city. It's just huge. It's like nothing they've ever seen before. Kind of the way I felt when I went into LA. It's like, whoa, what is with everybody? So Farmer Bunt, who brought him there, tells Rand to get rid of his sword if he wants to avoid drawing attention to himself, and then he takes off. So they ask directions to get to the Queen's Blessing, because that's the inn that Tom told them to go to when they arrived, if they ever arrived in Camelin. Rand noticed that people with swords had either white or red cords and cloth wrapped on them, so he got himself some cloth and wrapped his sword, covering up the heron. Mm-hmm. And then they arrived at the Queen's Blessing. They meet Basil Gill, the innkeeper. What are your thoughts on Basil Gill? Yes, he is just you just imagine, I can't remember if the story actually mentions whether he's heavyset or not, but you imagine him being just a fat, nice innkeeper, right? Good to his queen, just a nice guy, so.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure he's fat. Right.
He's a good innkeeper, he has to be fat.
Rosy cheeks and everything, so.
Exactly.
So Rand shows Basil Gill Tom's flute and tells him that Tom died, and Basil doesn't believe him. What are your thoughts there? He says he'll believe that Tom's dead when he sees the corpse.
Yeah. I think that we find out later why he thinks that Tom's still alive. You know, he was able to escape the queen's henchmen after he displeased the queen. And
the more and more we hear about Tom, the less he seems like a simple gleeman, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a little bit more to that guy. So, mm-hmm. So because they know Tom, he offers him room and board, even though he's pretty much full, and gives him some food. And then he gives some background information on Tom, that Tom was a court bard to Morghese and ended up in a relationship with her. And then, yeah, that's smart. Then disappeared when he heard about his nephew, Owen, having some trouble with the Aes Sedai, took off to try to help him. And when he came back, Morghese was pissed and basically put a bounty on his head, and he disappeared again. So
I thought that once he disappeared, she put the bounty on his head because she was pissed. I didn't think that he came back.
Well, you're right. You're right. But it wasn't until he got back that he realized that had happened. I mean, he didn't know. Yeah. But yes, right. Yes, Morghese was not happy because that's what queens do. They get all mad about things that are really none of their business. But, you know, it's good to be the queen. All right. Anything else on chapter 35 that stood out to you?
Well, Matt being some roast.
Oh, yes. I should have brought that up for sure.
That everybody is dead. He just doesn't believe anyone else survived that is still alive.
Matt's such a party pooper, isn't he?
He is. He is. And then it just struck me that everything there was so brown.
Yes.
And things were dying. So that stuck out. And then it was funny when Rand bought the cloth because he was buying it to cover the sword. And he figured it was smart because everybody had their sword hilts covered.
Right.
And he had a choice between white and red. But because the red was a cheaper one, that's why he went for the red. And Matt was all pissy saying, you know, we could have used that money. Why are you doing that? And, you know.
Matt's such a pleasant guy right now, isn't he?
He is. But, you know, and it just struck me that it was funny that there must have been a big discrepancy between the price of the red cloth and the white cloth.
Right. And it's funny that he chooses red, which ends up being it ends up being kind of an important choice, and he had no idea when he bought it that's what.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
that he was
kind of like the wheel was leading him.
Yes, it's almost like, well, we'll get into that in this chapter, I believe.
Yeah. And then I also thought it was really sweet of Basil Gill, Master Gill, not to charge the boys for the room and board. He'd said, you know, if it turns up that Tom really is dead, then they'll figure it out. They'll figure payment out later.
Yeah, but makes you realize that him and Tom must have been close. You know, like they must have been good friends. Like,
yeah, because he was surprised that Rand had Tom's flute, and that's what he goes. Tom just doesn't give his flute to anybody. You know, you would have to take it off of his cold dead hands. So,
right.
You know, and that they knew to go there. So you just kind of. And I think we find out more and more about Master Gill, you know, in the next chapters. But I think he's a really good guy. And he's looking out for the boys like Tom would want.
Exactly. All right. Chapter 36, titled The Web of the Pattern. That's not the title. The title is Web of the Pattern, not the liar. I'll tell you. I mean, how can you even trust this guy? So Master Gill gave food to Rand and Matt and asked him what kind of trouble they were in. So he's not dumb. He knows that they're obviously running from something. So Rand tells Basil their story, and he leaves out the worst of it. He doesn't really talk about the Shadow Spawn or, you know, like what's been chasing him or anything like that. But he does not really lie. He just lies by omission, I guess.
Right.
And then he lets them know that they're looking to meet some of their friends here. And he tells them that they're going to head to Tar Valon if they can't find their friends. So
right.
So Master Gill tells him not to approach Elida Sedai, the advisor of Queen Morghese. She's Red Aja. Have we talked about the Ajas at all?
Yeah, we have.
Okay.
And so they're different sects. Shall we say?
Exactly correct. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And the red are in charge of hunting down male channelers. So
She is definitely red. Okay, because it's funny because I missed that part.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why later when we get into chapter.
Good. I await. The reason why he says not to avoid, I guess, Elida is because she knows about all the issues with Tom and, they're connected to Tom, and she'll be able to kind of suss out that they're connected to him, and things won't go well if they run into her. So, he brought up all
good
the
foreshadowing there.
Thank you. He brings up
the author. I meant.
No, that was all on me. That was all on me. I told him to write it. He brought up all the political trouble that's currently in the city, and then he's interrupted and goes to see the cook in the kitchen. Matt and Rand are led to their attic room, and Matt lays down and refuses to get up. He's just being being Matt right now. I mean, this is Matt right now. So
he's being a mopey teenager.
He sure is. Somebody needs to get him some Midol or something.
Hey,
whoa, was that out loud?
To that, it's not a girl thing. He is acting like a moody teenage boy. And let me tell you, moody teenage boys, because I have nephews, can be moodier than some girls.
Oh, I can remember so, when I was young.
Oh, the, well, you're so young.
I'll tell you. Rand leaves the room and goes back down to see if he can find Master Gil in the common room, but he can't find him there. So he continues searching and eventually ends up in the library. So he's just amazed by the amount of books that Master Gil has. And once again, this kind of points out how small the Two Rivers is. You know, I mean, that Master Gil has all these books. I mean, wow. And he realizes he's not alone, turns around and sees what he thinks is a Trolloc.
Yes.
He goes for his sword and Loyal introduces himself, explaining that he's an Ogier and complaining that nobody in Camelin remembers the Ogier. What are your thoughts on Loyal as an introduction?
Like him. It's like he, you know, I can just like kind of imagine him as like this gentle giant kind of guy being like, no.
Yeah, exactly. But exactly. Really, the audiobook. I love the way that the guy gives does Loyal. Just his voice and his mannerisms and everything are great. So, real deep voice and real slow talking. And
yeah,
it's awesome. So Loyal tells Rand that he left the Steading and didn't have permission to leave the Steading. The elders didn't give him permission to see the world. but that's his
pattern here.
Right, exactly. He belongs, doesn't he? But he wants to go see the Ogier Groves, see the great cities that were built by the Ogier, and he wants to see the groves that are within the cities. And he tells Rand that he's only 90 years old, so he's not allowed to leave the Steading without permission. So tells you that the Ogier definitely live a little bit longer than humans.
Yeah.
Just by a few years. And he says that the world has changed so much since the books that he was reading about the world were written. So, like, all the city names have changed, all the country names have changed. I mean, it's just not the same place. So,
right.
So Loyal calls Rand and Aiel men, quoting, and I don't really usually say quotes, but I love this one. So, till shade is gone, till water is gone, into the shadow with teeth bared, screaming defiance with the last breath to spit in sight blinder's eye on the last day. I don't know why I love that, but it just has a nice ring to it. So it is ominous. So who's sight blinder?
Pardon?
Who is sight blinder, you think? To spit in sight blinder's eye on the last day. It doesn't matter, but that's the dark one.
Yeah, that's what kind of like, yeah.
Or Shaitan or whatever you want to call him.
Yeah. But what is an Aielman?
Aielman.
Aielman.
I don't want to get too into that yet.
That's the thing. That was my big question because I was like, it seems like Loyal knows a lot.
The Aiel are a people.
Oh, okay.
They will come up later in the story. So I don't want to get too far into it. But if you want a comparison for the Aiel, have you read Dune?
Yes.
Okay, the Aiel are like the desert folk in Dune. It's same kind of, or like the people on Tatooine where the Skywalkers are from in Star Wars.
Okay.
You know, they're that kind of people. Desert dwellers, no water, you know, good fighters. But they'll come up later in the story. They definitely play a role, so.
Yeah.
Rand tells him that he's not Aiel, that he's from the Two Rivers, and Loyal does not recognize the name of the Two Rivers. So Rand tells him that it used to be called Manetherin. And Loyal does recognize that. So that kind of tells you, I mean, it's been hundreds at least of years since it was Manetherin. So that tells you kind of where these books that Loyal is reading, when they were written, you know, I mean, how old they are, which I think is awesome. I'd love to get my hands on those books, even though they're not real. Rand tells Loyal his full story, which I think is interesting that he seems to trust Loyal more than he trusted Basil Gill because he doesn't hold back with Loyal.
Yeah, it's like almost like Loyal has like a truth serum on him.
Right. Wow, we've gone into that, huh? And Loial tells Rand that he's Taviren, which I brought this up last week, I think, and I mistakenly brought it up because we hadn't talked about Taviren yet, but I thought we had mentioned him. So the idea of Taviren is that everybody has threads in the pattern, and Taviren have other people's threads kind of woven around theirs. They're kind of the center of the pattern. They are the important people.
The pattern with a greater influence.
Exactly.
Bigger influence.
But what happens to them matters more, so the pattern is almost woven around them. So Loial tells him that he is, tells Rand that he's Taviren. And then he asks Rand for permission to go with him when he leaves because he wants to travel with Taviren. He's obviously never done that. And Rand tells him that it's too dangerous, that he can't come with him. Makes you sad. But Rand, any other thoughts or questions on chapter 36?
No, I think you pretty much covered it. But at least Loial wants, Rand to come back and play game,
Right. He's just a super nice guy. Yeah.
He's been told that he can't go out in the city. He's skulking around.
Because he scares everybody when he goes out there, which is kind of funny.
And Master Gil was the one who asked him not to use the common room.
Because he scares everybody there,
Master
too.
And Master Gil is protecting him as well.
Master Gil. He's just a good guy. He's a Queen's man through and through. I call him as well as the audiobook calls him Loial. And I think that's a great name because that's what he is. He's Loial.
Aww.
He's just a good guy. He's a good, I guess he's not really a guy. I guess he's a guy. He's a male. But he's a good boogier.
Yeah.
Anything else on chapter 36? Oh, you had mentioned that he wanted him to play games. Why can't I think of the name of the game they played? It's basically chess is what they played. Yeah. And they play it. Throughout the story, they play castles. Is that what they call it? Or is that, I don't think it's castles.
Can't remember.
Because that's, I think castles is Game of Thrones version.
I can't remember.
If you're going to write epic fantasy, you have to have a game of chess of some kind in there,
All
right.
Yes, because it's all about strategy. And Matt's still being his moody teenage self.
Yeah, Matt is. And if he doesn't change soon, that's going to be how we're going to see him. So that's just going to be who he is. So Matt thinks everyone's dead. Loial tells Rand he's sure that everyone's fine, not to worry about it.
Yeah, and he's also more paranoid too. And he's not leaving the room. He'll eat.
And he is getting worse by the day, almost. Just
exactly.
Yeah. All right, chapter 37, titled The Long Chase. That's not cryptic at all. Moraine, Lan, and Nynaeve were traveling towards Camelin in search of the boy who still had her coin, which is, of course, his parent. After they've been walking for a bit, Moraine stops, sensing that the coin has been taken from him. By the next morning, when they're getting ready to take off, he had the coin again. So she leads them north towards him, away from the Camelin Road.
And you know what the funny thing is? I did have a question about that because I don't remember what was the guy's name giving Perrin.
Yeah, I don't remember that either. But it does seem like he got the coin back, so obviously somebody gave it back to him.
But did he, though? That's what I'm wondering, because the thing is when we get further into when we meet up with them, it doesn't seem like
she sat down. Her voice. Give me a second here. I apologize. I'm reading.
You're reading?
I'm doing some reading.
You're going back?
Yep.
Because all I remember is that he was accused of having a coin from those witches.
I guess it doesn't really say he was given the coin back, so...
No.
I don't know. Maybe she just got close enough to sense him. Because she did say earlier that she could sense him if she got close enough. So he has regained the coin wisdom. All will be well.
Yeah. See?
Huh.
Is that a plot hole?
It probably is. When you write 12,000 pages, there are going to be a couple probably. But There will be more too, I promise. Interesting. Yeah. All right. So after they search for a bit, they find a White Cloak camp where he's being held. Moraine decides that they're going to free him, and Lan asks Nynaeve if she'll help them free him, and she agrees. Lan tells her that her part in freeing him will be to cut the picket ropes that are holding the horses of the White Cloaks, so that when Moraine creates her distraction, the horses will scatter, creating more of an issue. You know, just creating a cluster mess in the camp, just making everything go crazy. So he also warns her to watch out for wolves. That's fun, huh? Says he's seen wolves around the camp, so you need to be careful around them. So, go ahead.
Funny that he worries about wolves, because I didn't realize, like, the Aes Sedai and the wolves didn't get along.
Yeah, it's interesting, because later, I believe it's in this chapter later, he tells Nynaeve that Moraine is wrong about the wolves, that the wolves aren't part of the dark, dark ones. Like, they're not part of the dark ones, minions. But it seems like the Aes Sedai generally think they are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is odd. Just because the narrator says something doesn't mean that it's true in these stories, which I love. That's the way it should be.
Right.
Just because it's said doesn't mean it's right. So, Moraine is smart. She's not the end-all know-all.
So, if we're looking at it that there's a narrator telling the story, then there could be, that could explain some of the inconsistencies.
Absolutely can. I mean, we are reading the story. We're not necessarily seeing it. We are seeing it from specific points of view, but
it's not
yes.
It's not like it's not written from like Moraine's point of view or
exactly. Exactly. All right. So the horses when Nynaeve gets to the horses, she sees they're only being guarded by two White Cloaks, and they're not exactly the best guards. They follow the same patterns all the time. They're not really guarding. They're just doing their job, I guess. So Nynaeve sneaks in, cuts the ropes, and when she gets to the last group of horses, she recognizes Bella, our true hero of this story, and realizes that Egwene must be in the camp as well.
Right.
So she decides she'll take Bella and one other horse and unties their lead rigs. I thought this was funny that when she's petting Bella, giving Bella some attention, the other horse that she takes gets like jealous.
Yeah, wanted attention.
Yeah, it's like, wait, what about me? It's like, you need to pet me too.
Like your cat and dog.
Yes, it does. No question. So. So moments later, Moraine creates her distraction and lightning crashes down all over the camp, causing the horses to flee. That's a great, image, by the way. I love that.
Yeah.
Just Moraine just calling down lightning, calling down thunder from the skies. So Nynaeve is stunned to see wolves chasing the horses away. So there's your wolves showing up again. Thoughts on chapter 37?
Basically covered everything. I did think it was... interesting when Moraine told Nynaeve to take care of herself because she was part of the pattern.
Right. Basically telling her, you're in this now. You're important.
Don't get caught. Don't get hurt.
I thought it was interesting, and I can bring this up because it's just speculation. It never really clears it up, but there was one bit of lightning that was different from the rest, and I think that was Nynaeve. I think Nynaeve called down lightning without knowing what she was doing. Just one. So that's just me, though. It's not proven anywhere that Nynaeve actually did. But we do know that not only can she channel, but she can channel strongly. So it makes sense that during all this, she might have, you know, during all of her worry, she might have jumped in as well and helped, if you will. So chapter 38. Thank you. Sometimes I need help. I'm tired today. Chapter 38 is titled Rescue. Tired, I am always tired. Tell the cat to stop sleeping on my face. So chapter 38, Perrin and Egwene are in their tent with the White Cloaks, or in the White Cloak camp. And they're not in very good shape. You know, they're not being treated well. They're Well, I mean, they're prisoners, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. One night, Byer stepped into their tent and offered Perrin a chance to escape, telling them that they're slowing down the caravan. They need to get headed towards Loghain and Camelin, and they can just escape. And Perrin's not so sure of this because, well, I mean, Byer hates him and thinks he's a dark friend, and why would he let him escape?
Yeah, plus it's like thinking that, you know, this man could kill me.
Right, exactly. It's like, you are just trying to, exactly. Right as he's about to reply, he gets a mental sending from Dapple, the wolf.
Yes.
And that says, help is coming.
Yep.
I love the wolves.
I like Dapple.
I like Dapple as well. I like all of them. Well, most of them. A moment later.
It also gives Perrin hope, too, because... then he realizes that, geez, what's the guy's name, is alive then too.
Elias,
yes. Yep.
But it doesn't necessarily make him know that he's alive, but it makes him pretty sure that he is.
Well, did he get a glimpse of Elias?
Oh, yeah, you're right. He did, where he was hurting. Yes.
He was hurt, yeah.
You're absolutely right. Tending his wounds. So, so right after that, Perrin sees the guards in front of his tent just drop to the ground, and Lan steps into the tent, knocking Byer unconscious and untying both Egwene and Perrin. So Lan's just a badass, right? Yeah. I mean, he's Lan. Lan Almet, Mandragoran. Blah. Easy for you to say. So Lan tells him that they're not saved yet, it's not over, and tells Perrin to grab a cloak and so he can be disguised, and then Moraine's lightning starts crashing down. So it kind of gives you a time frame of where we're at. So,
right.
Two things happening at the same time there. Nynaeve's story, part of the story, and this are kind of happening at the same time. So they leave the tent to find Moraine and meet her outside the camp. So Egwene asks Moraine where Matt and Rand are, and she's not telling her. Says, we don't have time. Just leave me alone right now. We need to get out of here first. And then Lan notices that Nynaeve hasn't returned, and he gets ready to go find her, and Moraine stops him saying that he has oaths and they're not to Nynaeve. So Moraine and Nynaeve like each other so much. Just... right after that, Nynaeve came crashing into the group through the bushes, leading Bella and the other horse she grabbed, and they take off away from the camp while the white cloaks are running around, not knowing what's going on. They head towards the Camelin Road, and Perrin feels Dapple touch his mind one more time, telling him that they'll meet again. Aww.
Yeah.
Aww. Good old Dapple.
We love Dapple.
I love all of them. The wolves play a big part in this story as well, and I love the wolves. They're just awesome. So, Lan checks their back trail several times, making sure they're not being pursued, and then they continue towards Camelin, stopping just before dawn to get some rest. Mm-hmm. Nynaeve tends to Perrin's bruises, and that's when she notices his yellow eyes.
Uh-huh.
And she can't figure out what's wrong with him, but Moraine recognizes it and says not to worry, that it won't harm him on its own, but she doesn't say what it is. Basically, uh-huh. Coming up with its parent's story to tell if he wants to tell. So so they're getting ready to go to sleep, and Lan tells Perrin that his eyes are not a thing of the Dark One, disagreeing with Moraine there, which doesn't happen all that often. So. And then he asks if he had a guide through his changing, and Perrin tells him about Elias, and Lan tells Perrin that he both knew and respected Elias, and that Elias was a warder who ran into problems with the Red Aja. So we get a little bit of the backstory for Elias, that the Red Aja were after him, and he asks Perrin if Elias is okay, and Perrin tells him that he thinks he is, and Lan realizes that Perrin's like a bigger part of the pattern than he had thought before, and that it's good that Moraine found him, and that they need to find the others before all is lost. So,
right.
Thoughts on chapter 38?
Well, I was glad Perrin got his axe back from.
Yes, I did not mention that, but he did get his axe back. Absolutely.
He did get his axe back. But see, this is why I was saying that I didn't think he had the coin back, because of how badly they were like tied up and trussed up. because they didn't like, how would they have anything on them? That's why I was thinking.
No, I agree. It doesn't make sense that he would have the coin. Like, why would they give him coins in the first place? He's a prisoner. So.
Right. Exactly. Just like when, you know, when Dapple said one day again, so you know that they're going to meet up again.
Right.
You know, that's foreshadowing.
Absolutely. Is that the wolves are not done with our story.
Yeah.
Or our story is not done with the wolves, whichever way you want to look at it.
Yeah. And the thing is Moraine, when she was answering Egwene about Matt and Rand, when she said that she didn't know where they were, but she believed that they were in Camelin or on their way there, but she would find them. Like, there was no doubt in her mind she would find them.
Right.
So, like, that's why Egwene shouldn't really worry. And then just also how quickly, when Nynaeve was tending to Perrin's injuries, even with the salves that she was using, how quickly he was healing.
Yes.
Like, quicker than he should have.
And he brought that up. He said that sometimes when Nynaeve heals you, you seem to heal faster than you should, that she's really good at what she does. So.
But even she seems surprised.
Right. I mean, maybe it's a thing of the wolves.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, is his connection with the wolves has some kind of, with his, ability to heal again. And then, and Moraine is also noticing that what is woven, what's happened, it's past changing. You can't change it.
Right.
Like, after noticing that the irises are yellow. So it's not, she can't heal him, because I think that Nynaeve was kind of looking to Moraine to be like, well, can we heal him from this? Like, you know, whatever's going on with Perrin.
Brings you back to Elias and the story that that Lan gave with Elias, that's what the Red were trying to do, was figure out what had caused it and how to get it out of him, if you will, or how to.
Yeah.
And it's just not something that can be done. And it's interesting that Moraine knows about that as well. I mean, she just seems to know a little bit about everything, doesn't she?
She did. So, but, you know, Perrin still doesn't think that. You know, he thinks that as an Aes Sedai, that Moraine should know more about the wolves. And he still thinks that it's the work of the Dark One. But it's Lan who tells him no. And when he was also talking about Elias, he also said that he, not only was he a warder, but he was also Lan's teacher.
Yes. Yes, he was his trainer. Yeah, absolutely. So that, I mean, I think that's important for Perrin, too, because that means that, like had it been any other combo of warder and Aes Sedai, Perrin might be in trouble.
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, he got the right one. Once again, the pattern is weaving itself around them.
Ed Zachary.
Anything else on chapter 38? We shall move on to chapter 39, Weaving of the Web. So we're back with Rand. We're back in Camelin, and Rand sees the crowds headed towards the inner city, and he's all excited because he realizes that this is them heading to see Loghain. And that's what he wants to do more than anything, is see Loghain and maybe see the queen, you know, I mean, see the inner city.
He's a small country bumpkin. He wants to get out there and see things, but he's also nervous.
Absolutely. And Matt wants no part of it because he's Matt, and he's all pissy.
And he's just staying in his room, and you know, Rand is bringing him food, he's eating it all, but he's just not being himself. So wasn't he also thinking of, like, trying to find a healer or a wisdom,
right,
to check him out, to see what's going on with him?
And he asks, and it's mother Gwynnin or something along those lines.
Yeah, across the way.
So, but she's out, so there's nothing she can do anyhow.
Right. Plus, though, because of all the white cloaks, people are also being really, really careful about what they do and who they're with and who their alliances are.
Absolutely. So, I got lost for a second. So,
sorry about that.
Oh, no, that's on me. Or on the cat, one of the two. So, on his way out of the inn, Master Gil stops him, and he tells Rand that there's a beggar that's been asking questions about him and his companions, and tells him to leave through an alleyway to avoid drawing attention, because the front of the inn is being watched by people who blame the Queen Morghais for all the troubles in the city. So you just kind of get the feeling that that Camelin's almost like a boiling pot that is just ready to explode, you know? I mean,
yeah.
So the beggar, clearly that's going to be Padawan Fane, right?
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
They never really tell you that's who it is, but I'm pretty sure we can make that assumption that it's probably Fane. What other beggar type would be after asking questions?
And crazy.
Right, and nuts, exactly. And you don't even know the half of it, so it just wait. So Rand starts heading towards the inner city, deciding that that's the best place to see Loghain and Morghese. And once he enters the inner city, he runs into the beggar, who tries to reach for him, and Rand runs away, finding himself lost in an unfamiliar part of the city. Always good to be in an unfamiliar city and have no idea where you are. So
yeah, and I see this is, he saw the beggar, but he didn't recognize him. So this is what maybe threw me off the trail, that it could be Pan Finet, you know, I don't know, because he was crazy and he just saw him running towards him. And it's like,
you're right. They never technically say that it was Fane. So maybe not. I mean,
but he's trying to be low key too. So that's why he's also like, he doesn't want this beggar starting a scene.
Right. Right. He's not looking to draw attention to himself in any way. So
yeah, especially because we find out that the white bands represent the white cloaks and the red bands are the sort of supporters of the queen. And it seems the white bands seem to be outnumbering the red bands.
Yes. But at the same time, with what's coming up, it's good that he had the red band on.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm totally with you. But it's just really funny that the red band was cheaper in the city where, you know, like they're all, it seems like that her own people are turning against her. But everyone we've met so far has been in favor of the queen.
Right.
It's helped the boys.
But again, we're getting the story from their perspective. So we are going to get more of, you know, their side.
The other side.
Absolutely. So he's looking for a good place to see Loghain as he goes by, and he's hearing the drums and the trumpets that are signifying that the parade is passing him by, you know, that the parade's coming. So he sees a wall and he climbs it, which I think is funny. He's a country kid. He knows how to climb walls and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And he's sitting on top of the wall to get a better look, and he sees Loghain being guarded by four Aes Sedai. Loghain smiles up at him. What do you think of that? Laughs at him, even. Looks at Rand and laughs.
I don't think he was looking at Rand. He was looking at all the other people, because Rand was so far away sitting on that.
Okay.
He wasn't in direct sight. But I thought it was really interesting when Rand was thinking to himself that how Loghain held himself like a king, and then wherever his gaze swept over the people, the crowd would go silent.
Right.
So, and they would erupt with roars afterwards. And he thought it was strange that Loghain didn't look defeated.
Yeah, Loghain is the one who's captured, but it seems like he is, you know, he's almost in charge. Yeah, no, I completely agree. Yeah, Loghain is he's not whimpering. He's not defeated. Or not acting defeated anyway.
Yeah.
So Rand wonders aloud why the Aes Sedai appear to be concentrating so hard. Mm-hmm. And from behind him, a girl's voice replies that they're shielding Loghain from the source. Mm-hmm. And Rand gets surprised, falls, crashes his head, and passes out.
Him and the girl.
Yeah, I'll tell you. If only he had Perrin's way with the girls, you know? I mean,
I know.
I find the whole, if only that situation, it cracks me up every time it comes up, just because it comes up so often. But
right.
So yeah, thoughts on chapter 39.
Well, it was funny because I didn't think that there were cliffs near Two Rivers, but he said that it, you know, like the wall kind of reminded him of the cliffs beyond the Sand Hill. And that's why he was so comfortable climbing. Like, he could scale the wall really easily.
Well, I don't know about cliffs, but there are definitely mountains. The Mountains of Mist are
Right, Mountains of Mist. But it did specifically mention the cliffs beyond the Sand Hill.
Sure.
That they used to climb, you know, him, Perrin, and Matt.
Right. I don't know. I mean, you know that, country folk have less to do, so he can't sit in and watch TV all day, so.
Well, that's true. He can't.
Since there's no TV and whatnot. Yeah, but I just think it's funny. He just gets surprised, falls, hits his head, Loghain's laughing, and he's gone.
Yes.
So, chapter 40, our final chapter of the day, titled The Web Tightens. So, Rand wakes up, and he's in the company of a girl who's a couple of years younger than him, and a boy who he can tell is related to her. You know, I mean, they look pretty similar. Yeah. And they're both finely dressed, and he's like, oh, crap, what did I do? So,
what did I stumble into this?
Right. And he recognizes Elaine based on the descriptions he's been given of her. And so he knows that she's Elaine, the daughter heir of Andor. And that makes, well, maybe
he
not.
He thought that there was some, he knew it was some, that it was some fine person, but he had no clue who it was. I don't think that he knew that that was the princess.
I don't remember her introducing herself, though, did she?
No, she just called, they didn't introduce themselves at first.
Give me a
minute. It wasn't until her other brother showed up.
Oh, you know what? I think you're right. Give me a second.
You think I'm right?
I think you might be.
What was that? What?
Maybe.
No. What?
In some alternate universe, you might be right.
Come on. You can say it.
Nonsense.
Come on. Wendy is wrong. You're still looking.
I am.
You're trying to prove me
He's
wrong.
He's still the boy there. Okay. No, you're right, because Gawain starts talking about Gareth Bryn and the queens, and that's when he realizes what happened. Mm-hmm. Calls him mother. Calls the queen mother. Yeah. You're absolutely right. I stand corrected.
One more time?
Nope. You got what you needed. That's all you needed. So.
Yeah.
So Elaine is tending his cuts, and Gawain is kind of making fun of her because that's what she does. You know, she finds birds and tends their cuts. And
stray animals.
Yes, she's taking care of her strays. But there doesn't seem to be any... You know, they're having a good time. There doesn't seem to be any fear or anything like that in them.
Right.
So, and then Galad shows up, the half-brother, and he doesn't see Rand as... He sees Rand as an intruder. And an
intruder with a sword.
With a sword, with a heron-marked sword at that.
Yeah.
And he heads off to go get the guards. And
Did he see the heron on the sword? Because isn't it still covered?
Well, they see the heron later. Maybe he didn't. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter.
But he does. What matters is he runs off to get the guards, because he always does what's right, as Gawain tells him. That no, even if it hurts himself, he does what he sees is right. So, goody little two-shoes.
Yeah.
So, before Rand can be spirited out of the gardens, Talonvor shows up leading the guards. And they see him as a serious threat, and they're going to take him off to the dungeon so that he can be interrogated by Gareth Bryn. But Elaine says, well, if you're taking him to the dungeons, I'm going with him. And they're...
I just love her.
Oh, I know, right? Wouldn't you love to be her mother? What a pain in the ass.
Well, she's being raised to be queen.
Well, right. No, that's true. But it seems to me that her and Talonvor go back and forth constantly. Yeah. That, you know, that seems to be a thing, that she always gets the best of him. And he's just waiting for his chance to get the best of her. So,
exactly.
Like, one of these days, Elaine, I tell you. But before their argument can be settled, a messenger shows up saying they'd been summoned to the queen. So that solves that. So as they're heading out of the gardens, Rand notices that the gardens are green and flowering, which is kind of odd since everything's brown in the city. Right. And Elaine lets him know that it's Elida, the Aes Sedai, that with, you know, her mom's, the queen's advisor, that keeps the that garden blooming green for her. So.
And see, this is why I thought Elida was... agreeing. I said,
no, they can all do all that. I mean,
oh, they can all do
yeah.
all that.
But well, not that, they can't know, all do everything, but that's something that Elida can do.
But it just seemed like it was such a big green garden
The green are actually the Badalaja, though.
Whatever one does the growing and the nurturing in nature.
I would say that would probably be more the yellow, since they're the healing.
Yeah.
But then
again, she did say that she could only do that for one other farm.
Right.
Because, you know, Lane didn't think it was right that they should have flowers when people were hungry.
Such a nice girl, you know.
Yeah, and Adelaida's work should be helping the people.
I didn't like Elaine's portrayal in the TV series, by the way. Not how I pictured her for some reason, but that's neither here nor there.
I think we're past where this doesn't sound familiar to me at all.
Yes, I don't think you would have seen Elaine at all. So
yeah.
I don't think she showed up until season 3, the last season that happened, and you didn't watch that, so.
No, and I only think I watched season 1, but it was so long ago.
Good.
That I'm really not remembering this.
Well, we don't want you to remember it, so that's good.
Yeah.
So, they go through the hallways and enter a hall, and Gawain says, well, at least it's not the main hall, so that's a good sign. You know, you might be all right. Yeah. No.
They haven't beheaded anyone there yet.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. No big deal. So they enter the hall, and Elida and Gareth Brynn are both in there. Gareth is the captain of the guard. So that's probably not as good of a sign that they're both in there. And of course, Morghese is in there.
Yeah.
So Morghese starts by lecturing Elaine and Gawain about their duties and about disobeying her orders to go see Loghain. Mm-hmm. And I think it's funny, the back and forth there,
and also Elaine protecting Gawain, you know, saying that, well, he couldn't like stop me, so he had to come.
Right. It's all my fault, Mom. Leave Gawain out of this.
He can't stop me. So he was kind of doing what you said. He was looking out after me and protecting me.
Exactly. Elaine comes to his defense, which is, that's good. That tells you that they get along. They're good brothers and sisters. So Elaine asks for permission to speak, and then she tells the story of what happened and says that Rand is a loyal Anderman, and Morghese is a bit skeptical of that. Mm-hmm. Elida points out that Rand doesn't look like he's from the Two Rivers. And we keep hearing this over and over again, huh? That Rand doesn't look like that. And that he carries a Heronmark blade. And it's odd that that's a second shepherd from the Two Rivers with a Heronmark blade. What are your thoughts about that?
The second? I thought that they just said that a farmer would have given his son that. I didn't think that they said that there were two Heron blades from Two Rivers.
I'm pretty sure. Now, I may be wrong again. I wouldn't be the first time today.
I just read this last night to be really on top of things.
I need to start reading it later. All right. A loyal subject from the Two Rivers. Two Rivers has not seen yada yada.
Yeah, and there it was also really funny because she says they haven't seen a tax collector.
Right.
They haven't. Because remember before I had said, you know, what about the taxes? What about this? What about that? And now we know that they haven't even been collecting taxes or sending their guards that far into the kingdom. That edge of the kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah. They're in the outskirts, and it almost seems like it'd be more of an effort to send out tax collectors than it'd be worth. You know, I mean.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And you're right. They don't mention the second. Where am I getting that from? Oh, well, I will stand corrected.
I'm going to hear another.
I was incorrect. Nope, that's all you're getting out of me. Surely he is too young to have earned a heron-marked blade. Mm-hmm. And Gareth says that it belongs to him, that he doesn't know how, he doesn't know why, but it's his sword. Interesting.
Yeah, isn't it?
My father gave it to me. Nope, here it is. Yet another shepherd from the Two Rivers with a heron-marked blade. Elida. Elida's smile made his mouth go dry.
Okay, I stand corrected.
Yes! And we're done for the day. That's all we needed. So Elida asks him when he arrived in Camelin, and he lies. Says he just got there that day. And she asks him where he's staying, and he lies and says that he is staying at... Where did he say? Yeah, at a different inn.
Because he just remembered, they can't remember the name of the inn.
The Crown and Lion.
Yeah.
And he had seen the Crown and Lion on his way there, so he just knew it was on the other side of the city, and that's right. Not where he was. So interesting right. That he would lie to Aes Sedai. That's bold.
That is.
Then Elida has her foretelling. So when Aes Sedai have foretelling, when they say foretelling, that means that...
they're seeing the future?
Yeah, they're kind of seeing the future. Like, it's more than just saying, this is what I think. A foretelling's a big deal. And not very many Aes Sedai can have foretellings. So for her foretelling, or the second one, the one that sounds better, pain and division come to the whole world, and this man stands at the heart of it. So... kind of a big deal. Maybe you should have listened to Master Gil and not gone and seen Elida, huh?
But the thing is because of what he was forewarned about, that's why he knew to kind of lie to her.
Right. At least he was smart enough to...
Or just not completely lie, but just, you know...
Not tell the truth.
Not tell the full truth and kind of... not let them know exactly where he could be found.
Yes, lies of omission, and then a complete lie and saying that he was somewhere else.
They always say the best lies are the lies that stay the closest to the truth.
That's true. So Gareth Bryn recommends keeping Rand locked up until Elaine and Gawain and Elida head to the tower. So basically saying... just in case, let's keep him locked up until he can't gone. Hurt your kids, basically. So, and Morghais decides, no, there's too much division in the city already as it stands. So I'm going to let him go. I believe him. He seems honest. We're going to let him go. So.
Well, I like how she said those lies would be unbelievable.
Right.
Like, she was like, why would he lie that he was from Two Rivers?
Yeah, like, who even knows about the Two Rivers?
She's like, he sounds like he's from Two Rivers. He might not look like he's a person from Two Rivers, but he sounds like it.
And he seems to know what the Two Rivers is about, and, yeah.
And, you know, that his dad gave him the sword. It's just too far-fetched of a lie to be a lie. So it has to be the truth.
Yep. So on his way out of the palace, he asks Gawain why nobody believes that he's from the Two Rivers, and Gawain, just like Loial, says he looks like an Aielman, and that he would if he had not said he was from the Two Rivers, he would have assumed he was an Aielman, basically. So
well, I like when he said if he wrapped a shufa around his head, he would look like an Aielman.
Yep. So, once again, there's Rand the Aielman again. So.
Yeah. Everybody thinks he's an Aielman.
So, Rand runs and heads back running to the inn. And that's where we end today. Any thoughts on chapter 40?
I was so gripped in this chapter. I loved it. And, you know... him meeting the queen, and just in my head I could just think of him being like getting back to the inn and him being like, oh my god, you'll never guess what happened to me.
Exactly. Oh my god, like, you should have come with us, you would have loved this, Matt.
Yeah,
right.
The way Matt's been acting, I think it would probably the best thing.
It's almost like the pattern is telling Matt to stay and Rand to go.
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly.
So,
I just like Elida, and like, she just, you know, she's taking her scarf that would cost so much to bind his wound to his head. And like, you know, he's just taken in with all the finery. But I also thought it was strange when he saw the cat in the castle and he's like, you guys have rats? And I'm like, no, we don't have rats.
Right. Yeah. It's just a cat.
It's just a cat.
But it's interesting. Actually, I'm not going to bring that up. We'll bring that up when it happens later. So when it's mentioned later. I had something to say, but I'm not going to. So you have any predictions from today's reading?
I don't know. I'm still wondering if Moraine and those guys will pin Kaelin.
Okay. Following on that prediction, you still think that Moraine and Nynaeve and now Perrin and Lan and Egwene, they'll all meet them there in Kaelin?
I'm hoping so. I think so.
Got our fingers crossed here.
We got our fingers crossed. It just seems like things are starting to converge and things are getting really, really heated. And I don't think that's the last we've seen of Loghain.
Okay, so like, we think Loghain's...
I think Loghain, you know, even though the four Aes Sedai were keeping him from the power and stuff like that, like, I'm really wondering if he really is the Dragon Reborn.
Whether Loghain is really the Dragon Reborn?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, he can clearly channel...
He's clearly
confident, even though he's being, you know, paraded around by Aes Sedai. So that's a bit different.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the crowd, he still had the power over the crowd.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and once they were out of his eyesight, then they could, like, do it. But if he was looking at them, that seemed to quiet them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Loghain definitely has an aura about him, if you will, you know?
Yeah, and... It really seems like things are really starting to come to a head with the white cloaks and the queen.
Stupid white cloaks.
And I think something, you know, I don't know if there's going to be an uprising against the queen or whatnot, but it seemed like when Rand was out, that there seemed to be many more white cloak supporters than queen supporters.
Yeah, it definitely seems like the... Kaelin is not all for the queen right now. I mean, it's on the tip of a matchstick. They're going to, seems like something's getting ready to happen.
Something's
for sure.
Getting ready to explode.
Absolutely. What about the rest of those who we met this week? Do you think we're done with Master Gil? Do you think we're done with the queen, with Elaine, Galad?
No.
Gawain.
I think if they will meet up again in Tar Valon.
You think that Rand and all them will meet up with Elaine and all them?
Yep, Elaine and Gawain.
What about Elaida?
Elaida? Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's not done.
All right.
And I have a feeling that her and Moraine are going to clash.
Don't think they're the best of friends, huh?
Nope. And I think that there's going to be a reckoning between those two.
That was the exact word I was going to say. That's awesome. Well done. Yes. Going to be a reckoning. Sounds like we're getting ready to have a duel.
A throwdown.
That's right.
The wolves are definitely going to be back. So I think we're definitely going to be seeing Elias again as well.
Cool. I like it. What else can we pull from today's readings that might be a prediction marker? Nothing really.
Oh, I think we're also going to be seeing, what was his name from the White Cloaks? Briar.
Oh,
Child Byer. Yeah, I think he's going to pop up again and be a thorn.
Yeah, he's a special one, isn't he?
Yeah.
But he's exactly what I think of when I think of religious radicals. I mean, I live in Topeka, Kansas, and we have, out here we have, he died, but we have the church that's, I can't think of the name of the church, but it's the super anti-gay church. Used to make the news all the time because of how much they hated gay people. And then the house across the street from the church, they painted the house in rainbow colors.
Oh my God, I love it.
Oh, it was great. But the head of the church died, and now they don't really get any, like, nobody really cares about them anymore, but I cannot think of the name of the church. But yeah, that's the kind of person who I think of when I think of White Cloak's like child buyer, because he's like, the White Cloaks suck, but he like sucks beyond what a White Cloak, normal White Cloak would suck. I mean, he's got the fervor.
Yeah. And see, if they're all going to Camlann, I'm kind of nervous, even though Camlann's quite big.
Right.
You know, that's why I'm also like thinking that there might be like, they're going to be running, you know, when everybody gets together.
I definitely thought today's reading was my favorite reading we've had so far.
You like, say that every week.
That's probably true. And I mean it every week.
Yeah.
No, but
in the same year.
Lots of action. The storyline's really starting to pick up. We're pushing towards the end of book one here. And I mean, it just feels like it's snowballing. Like we're really starting to move forward. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, whoever wrote this just seems to know what they're doing. It's like they're a writer. But yeah, any other predictions for today?
And I think Loyal is gonna.
Okay, you don't think we're done with Loyal either?
I don't. I hope. At least I hope not.
So do you think even though Rand said he couldn't come with him, do you think he's going to end up joining the group, joining the party on their way out?
Oh, I am. I'm hoping.
That's a finger cross. All right.
Oh, an Ogier could be a good use in their quest.
In what way?
Could be help. An Ogier could be a great help in their quest.
But they're so peaceful. They're not fighters. Like, what can he do that would help them?
He's a deterrent, because people think that he's a Trolloc. So he's kind of like a deterrent.
But couldn't that be a negative, too? If it looks like a Trolloc is coming with your group, wouldn't that make you dark friends?
That, because I just have it feel like he has the voice of Eeyore.
It's funny that you say that, because that's kind of what he sounds like on the audiobook. Kind of an Eeyore-type voice. Nice and slow and low and, yeah.
I don't want him to be gone. I want him to continue.
All right.
I hope he continues.
Well, we're going to make it one of your predictions, then, that Loyal is going to leave with them, that he's going to be part of their group. So how about Master Gil? Are we done with him?
Well, no, because they're still staying at the inn.
Well, right. But I mean, after this part of the story, is he going to be done, or is he going to go with them, or?
I don't think he's going to go with them, but okay. I think he's going to be there at the inn, and that's going to be like one of their havens, like their safe houses,
okay.
Shall we say?
I like it.
Like, because I think, you know, they're on a quest. So the thing is, you know, if they come back through Camlann, or they can use him as a message drop off point or something like that.
All right. How about names? We have Gawain and Galad.
Yes.
You recognize those names at all? Or
yes, those are Arthurian.
They are very Arthurian, as is Morghese.
Yeah. Well, that we spoke about that.
Oh, did we?
Week.
Okay.
And you know. When we were talking about that, yeah, definitely.
Cool. Awesome. I didn't realize we had talked about that. We're just going to have to get rid of that from the story. All right. All right. Well, any final musings on today's reading or what you think? Well, I guess we already talked about what you think is coming up. So any other musings on today's reading? All right. Well, for those 12 of you who have listened, we appreciate it. Please leave a review with whatever service that you're listening to us on. If it's iTunes, especially, because apparently that's more important than the others. We are still planning on having our writing contest, although we're running out of time, so we may not end up having one on book one here. But if you write a story, you're probably going to be the winner. So write us a story that corresponds with the storylines that are involved in book one here, The Eye of the World. Outside of that, like I said, please leave us a review, and we will read it. If you leave a review, we're going to read your review, and you're going to get credit for having reviewed us. You get to be in the spotlight for just a minute at least. You can send any comments you have to adventuresinrandland@gmail.com. That's our email address. Outside of that, should we have a discussion question? I haven't been very good with those. Our discussion question is, out of those that we were really introduced to today, this week, that would be Loyal, that would be Master Gil, Elida, the Red Asha, of the Red Asha, Morghese, Talonvor, Galad, Gawain. Who else were we introduced to? Gareth Bryn was in there today. Right. Out of all these, who's your favorite character out of those and why? What is it about those characters, without being too spoilerishy, what makes them your favorite character? So that'll be our discussion question. Outside of that, next week we are going to be doing chapters 41 through, what, 44, I believe? Maybe 45? I'm looking it up right now. 46? Wow, you get 6 chapters next week. We only have 2 more weeks of The Eye of the World. Next week we do 41 to 46, and then we finish the book the week following with 47 to 53. So we're almost there. In 2 weeks, we will be done with this book. We will almost be done with the series. We only have a few more years left. So, yes, thank you for listening, and hope to hear from you.
Yep. Have a good week.
You do as well. See you tomorrow. Or no, I guess Monday.
If you want to go to work tomorrow on Sunday, you know, that's feel free.
That's not likely to happen. I've got to cut the grass. Yeah, that's what I have to do. I have to cut the grass. So I can't do that. I won't have time.
Yeah, you go cut the grass.
And clean up. I had another storm, and I have more tree crap to clean up. So
you go do that, and I'm doing a breakout room tonight.
I need Moraine to stop calling down the lightning around my house. It's damaging the property. All right. Well,
all right,
we will see you next week.
Okay.
Bye.